Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity. Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Happy Monday to you all. I got the call in from the bullpen. Schmidt called in the righty. He is out today, not feeling too hot. Hope you feel better, my man, if you are listening. But got my man TJ and I on the ones and twos here.
Yeah.
We're
going
to hold it down today. Hale Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A lot to get into. A busy weekend. A lot of stuff went down. Whether it was college football, whether it was NFL, whether it was playoff baseball, a lot to get into today. We're going to have a great show. As usual, on Mondays, Michael Brunts, 24/7 Sports, talking a little recruiting, talk a little college football, talk a little Indiana. And as usual, in the second hour, that 5:05 time slot, Charlie McBride. He will give us our thoughts. I'll ask him about some defensive concerns that I have with this team right now, see if he sees the same issues I see that's kind of been plaguing us for the last year and a half now with this football team. So a lot to get into this weekend. I know I was busy. Had a wedding on Saturday evening, and congrats again to my man Mike on his wedding and his lovely bride out at Wilderness Ridge. So that was fun, and got to play a little golf, and watched a lot of football. Watched a lot of good football. Watched a little playoff baseball, which is great. Cubs are 2-0. Red Sox are 0-2. About to play here in a couple hours, actually an hour. Their game yesterday got postponed because of the leftovers from the hurricane kind of traveling up that way. But all in all, it was a good weekend. But TJ, you had a little struggle bus there. You got a little sick, huh?
Yeah. So Schmidt is out sick today, and then myself last night. I think I had my first ever food poisoning experience. I ate some salmon I probably shouldn't have ate.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed a funky smell, but, you know, I was like, you know, mm-hmm. I'll just cook it.
And heat kills germs.
Yeah, kill the bacteria.
You're right.
So as I'm writhing in pain last night with the worst cramps of my life, I Google bad salmon, and it's like, even if you cook it, the bacteria
really?
Will still be in there. So I was like, oh.
Did you have it coming out both ends?
No, thankfully not.
Okay, just
no.
One end.
Yeah, just one end.
Okay.
But yeah, seriously, like the worst cramps of my life.
Yeah,
I
haven't had food poisoning in a while, knock on wood.
Yeah, so learn my lesson.
Horrible. I had it one time. When I was in college, and I think it was during summer workouts, and I lost 10 pounds over the weekend from getting all that stuff out of me.
Ooh, okay.
Bad deal. Bad
hey,
deal.
Hey, we got a phone call already coming in, so let's go to Nate. Nate, what's up?
J-Bone.
Yo, what's happening?
Yo, man. You got to tell your boy to play through the plane before I start calling him Kristen. This is terrible. This is terrible.
Yeah, I know.
Man, he's probably at home using a Smith machine. Yeah.
It's kidney stone, so I don't wish that on anyone. So
oh, Lord. Yeah. That put me out when I was in the Army for a few weeks.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Rough.
That's a bad deal.
Oh, man. Tell him to lay off the Gatorade. So, no, seriously, it causes it after a while. Yo, man, so I know I sounded a little insane last weekend when I said that, you know, Indiana is scarier than Wisconsin, but I really feel like that Ohio State game vindicated my off-collar opinion. Indiana's pretty, man, if they had a quarterback, they're a legit probably top 20 team. I mean, they've got really good skill position people. And anybody that's got, what's that guy's name? Bacon Eater? Bacon Boy? Something like that?
Yeah, you're close.
I'm going to write him in on my presidential ballot.
Like, that's might awesome. As well.
I just
might
want
as well.
A president named Bacon Boy. Like, yeah. That's great.
It's a lot better than the other two options.
You know, I right now am literally the happiest person alive because I can say for the first time in my 35 years of life, the Cubs and Nebraska are good at the same time. I don't even know what to do with myself. I feel like I'm a mere, like, 4 months from my untimely demise because God's like, I finally let you see everything you wanted. Now you can come home. If one out of two of them pull this off, I'm going to be pretty
hey,
happy.
Nate, Nate, do you get the win against Bumgarner tonight, though?
I couldn't hear you. What?
Do you get the win against Bumgarner tonight?
Yeah, I think
really?
just because of offensive potential. I mean, you know, the top two MVP candidates are on the same roster. I don't remember the last time that's been the case. Maybe you could argue some of the Jeter, A-Rod, Yankee teams, but it's not a common thing. Beyond that, like as the commentator, I don't even know who it was that was doing game one, was like, well, you know, everybody likes Baumgartner, but he's going up against Arrieta. So it's not like the Giants are going to go out there and score a hell of a lot of points.
Correct. I
mean, unless he just craps his pants for some reason.
Probably another 1-0 run game like it was game one.
Yeah, this has been just a crazy week of good sports. I mean, you look at the Florida State-Miami game. That Tennessee A&M game was one of the better football games I've ever seen. I don't care for either team, but that was incredibly entertaining. Almost worth the price of cable for the month.
I hear. Thanks for your call, Nate.
Yeah,
be good, my man.
Pleasure, Jay. Take
yep,
care, bro.
Yep. Well, that leads us perfectly. I mean, there was just a lot of good football. I mean, it still baffles me that LSU and Florida did not play that football game when it supposedly was about 80 degrees and sunny in Gainesville. Mm-hmm.
And also when other games were moved to Sunday to accommodate.
And Miami played their game. I know it was a night game, just strange why I know safety is a main concern, but it still is like, come on. I mean, LSU is trying to do whatever they can to try to facilitate to still play this game, but Florida's like, nope, it's done deal. Mm-hmm. It's a bad deal, man. I can't. That's still just odd. Like, you would think you'd want to do it. I mean, this is a big game. It's not like you're playing, you know, Mayonnaise State. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're playing LSU. Well, like, this is a conference game. This is big time football here. You can't just, I know the weather, I get it, but you got to make something happen.
And I brought this up last week. Tennessee had a loss. Let's say they go 6-2, and Florida ends up 6-1. They're just going to get it because of the higher winning percentage.
No, you can't. I don't know. That's a problem. That's the problem you're going to have, and more than likely it'll probably happen. You know, and you're going to have to. There's going to be a big debate, which will give us something to talk about eventually on the radio. But it was a crazy, crazy deal. But he brought up that game. That Tennessee Texas A&M game was bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. You probably could put that one up there, in my opinion, with the Florida State-Miami game, just because you had it come down to a kick. You know, it wasn't a wide right like it's been in how many other Florida State-Miami games. It was a blocked extra point. There was about 2 minutes left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But that Tennessee game, I mean, I was kind of back and forth in between a bunch of games, and I kind of turned that one off. You know, I was like, Tennessee is just too much. Like, every game this season has been close. Mm-hmm. There's no way they're coming back. It's at A&M. And I'll be damned, they do it again.
Yeah.
Josh Dobbs and they find, I don't know what Butch Jones has cooking down there. It's kind of similar to what Nebraska's doing this year as well. They play sloppy, bad football in the first half, and then somehow they find a way to turn it on and find some good football in the second half.
And this would have been the ultimate, like, pulling it out of you-know-where if they would have won this game.
Yeah, no,
they would have made a deal with the devil if they kept going like this.
Listen, if
they had seven turnovers and they only lost by seven.
Right.
That's
double
nuts.
Overtime. Double overtime win.
Nuts.
I mean, at A&M, that place is bananas, is bonkers. You know, LSU game at night, you know, that's a pretty tough place to play. But that A&M anytime, 120,000 strong, going crazy with all the chants.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, good for Tennessee, but if they keep doing this, I mean, I don't know how they're going to keep standing at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But that, because, I mean, the East is still wide open, though. That's the craziest thing. Another game, I didn't get to see much of it. Oklahoma, Texas is always a big game. Red Rivalry shootout down there in Dallas at the old Cotton Bowl, the original Cotton Bowl. About what I expected. No defense, and Oklahoma ended up winning.
Mm-hmm.
And now Charlie Strong's seat is super hot.
Hot. That Notre Dame win feels like forever ago.
Well, this college football season has been so weird to me. The fact that we put so much into preseason expectations. Who's going to be good? You know, you look at who, you know, even after weeks one and two, you look at, okay, Texas-Notre Dame, that was a hell of a game. Notre Dame goes down there and almost beats them. You're thinking, okay, Notre Dame must be legit. Texas must be a damn good team, because I had high expectations for Notre Dame, a lot higher than I had for Texas. They, you know, Texas squeaks out a win. Okay, Notre Dame, you see them play a little bit. Well, then you have Michigan State on the other hand. You think they're going to be damn good again, obviously, with D'Antonio. They go down to Notre Dame, beat them. Okay, so Notre Dame's must not be as good. Michigan State is a really good football team. Well, now you have Notre Dame didn't lose to Duke. And then lose to NC State this weekend, which was a crazy game with all the rain and the slot fest. But now you have Michigan State going ahead now and dropping to Wisconsin and BYU. Now they're not that great of a team. So this snowball effect of who's really good and who's not in college football. I don't know. I still think there's legitimately two to three really good teams. I'll comfortable saying Alabama's great, Ohio State's great, Michigan State will put right up there, but maybe a tier left just because who have they exactly played so far this year?
You mean Michigan, right?
Oh, yeah, excuse me, Michigan. Yeah. Michigan. Yeah. Thanks for correcting me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michigan, Louisville, I don't know, but it's all, you know, Clemson's kind of underachieved. You know, I think Brad hit it on the nail, you know, last week, saying they if that game's at a neutral field, it's at Louisville, Clemson probably doesn't win that game because of all the offside penalties that false start penalty that Louisville had. I mean, it's just been a crazy year. There's a lot to be seen yet.
Mm-hmm. And we do know one team that's now eliminated, and that most likely is Houston after their loss
to
Navy.
They lost to Navy, and they couldn't stop the run. I can't even say
that. Yeah, the head coach, yeah.
Try to pronounce his last name.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just just funny how the cookie just continues to crumble and just what it happens. I mean, Nebraska moves up, you know. They move up a couple more spots because of the bye, and obviously, but it was a good week. You know, and you had Ohio State, Indiana. I mean, what Nate said, I mean, Indiana's a damn good football team. They're getting better. That's a team that I watched early in the year. You're like, not super, you know, impressed with this football team, but building throughout this year. I mean, yeah, I mean, Ohio State won 38-17, but it was they gave them a little run for the money in that first half.
Oh, yeah. That game was tight.
You know, and going into this, I've said it from beginning of, you know, the season and before. Into the preseason, I was more nervous about in the end of Wisconsin. Now it's probably about the same, maybe a little more concerned with Wisconsin than at Indiana. But
what was your main reason for that? You just kind of a gut feeling, or you
with
just
Wisconsin or Indiana?
With Indiana being
just because of who they play at home tough. I mean, they played Iowa, Michigan, and who else? Ohio State last year, mm-hmm. all tough. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott ran for like 3 bills last year at Indiana, and that was the only way they won. They ended up winning by a couple touchdowns, but it was close.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Michigan was close. I think Iowa, one of those games went to overtime. Might have been Michigan. I can't remember. But they played all three of those teams really close. And that's why I'm concerned, just because when you have a team like that that always plays well at home, they do. They beat Michigan State. And again, how good is Michigan State? Probably not that good. They have some quarterback issues, but they still beat them. They hung tough with Ohio State for 2.5 quarters.
Mm. They lost to Michigan last year, double OT by one touchdown.
There you go.
Yep.
So I knew it was close. So, listen, it's going to be a tough game, without a doubt. I mean, I'm just glad the bye week's over with, and we have 7 weeks of Husker football straight ahead, mm-hmm. and hopefully they're all, you know, have some – obviously they're going to have implications on winning the West, but, I mean, this is – you cannot – overlook this squad at all.
Sticking in the Big Ten, how about that barn burner between Iowa and Minnesota?
Schmitty was all pumped.
Was all pumped.
Watch that Minnesota-Iowa 11 a.m. game. What a pillow fight.
No, thank you.
No. I called it. I mean,
first one to 17 wins.
Yeah,
in this case, it was 14.
14-7. I mean, geez Louise.
Two times Iowa's won that way. 14-7 over Rutgers.
Iowa? Iowa's playing, I think this week they're playing their 6th straight 11 a.m. kickoff.
Oh. That sounds awful.
No, I love 11 a.m.
Well, I mean, as a player, you love it because you get done earlier.
And fans.
As
I love getting up. No, I love. See, I don't need to be, like, blacked out drunk to watch football.
Well, I don't either.
But I know a lot of people, like to get, you know, at least 6 or 7 beers deep before the kickoff. I get it. I mean, you just have to get up earlier. But I love getting up and having that game on right like that. And then you can, like, relax the rest of the day. Cause I get worked up a little bit watching Husker games. I still do. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Call me crazy.
Yeah.
But I do. And just nice to watch it, get a win, and you can watch those 2:30 games and night games and enjoy it.
Yeah.
You don't have to be worrying about the other stuff.
I mean, I guess if it's a night game, though, I look at it as I can watch all the day games before leading up to the other game. But you
sure,
know.
Yeah.
But if you're going to, I just think that's a little early. But I guess if you do go to it, to me, 2:30 is kind of annoying because it takes time to get there, and then afterwards it takes time to leave, so you're missing other a lot of games.
I get it.
So, but
no, I get it.
And then how about DeNardo? Telling us that Maryland, not as good as the record indicates, and Penn State.
He nailed it.
Nailed
Smoked
it.
Smoked him. What was it, 38-14, 38-17, something like that, right on that ballpark. I mean, that's what I was very interested in Maryland because obviously we play him in the later part of the season. But, you know, 4-0, but he nailed it. I asked him that question. I go, how good is Maryland? Is that 4-0 record legit? He goes, no, it's about who they played. You know, it's a matter of their competition, and they struggled. You know, Penn State's okay. They're not great. They're a middle-of-the-pack Big Ten team, but they struggled there. So, listen, it was a great great weekend of football, great NFL games yesterday. Major League Baseball was great. I got to see most of the Cubbies win Saturday night. It was just a solid weekend of football. We'll get into more Nebraska talk. Mike Riley had the press conference, gave a little injury updates. Tommy's going to be okay. Looks like the main three guys who are probably going to be out for Indiana are Seathan, Ozigbo, and then Jordan. My main concern is I think Seathan's the most vital weapon in this offense, in my opinion, just because knowing how defenses scheme and how tough a good tight end is, I think that's a huge hit. Hopefully we can still stick with there. But he said Neville is going to be okay, and hopefully Farmer is okay. And I think those two players are crucial because although no penalties, no holding calls, whatever you want to call it against Illinois, we struggled. We struggled up front. I know we were warmed down a little bit in that later part of the fourth quarter, but those guys are crucial. I will take those guys healthy over a healthy Western Camp and a healthy Ozigbo.
Yeah, Neville should be okay. Farmer is still questionable, so we'll see about that. But it sounds like Alonzo Moore, he'll be back as well.
So he'll be back. So hopefully we'll see. We'll see more as the week comes along. Get you some practice reports. Obviously, they don't practice on Mondays now this year, so tomorrow, more injury updates. But coming up next, Michael Bruntz, 24/7 Sports. We will talk a little recruiting, maybe a little Major League Baseball, and some NFL talk. Coming back here, Jay Moore, TJ Henning, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hale Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to halevarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Welcome back into Hale Varsity Radio Show presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Jay Moore, TJ Henning. Schmidt is out today. As usual on Mondays, our guy Michael Bruntz, 24/7 Sports, joins us, talk a little recruiting, talk a little football, maybe even playoff baseball. Brunson, my man, what's happening?
How much? How you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. Hey, last segment, we were just kind of talking about, obviously, with no Nebraska game to recap and rehash, just talking about how good of a weekend of football was. Was there a favorite game for you or multiple games where you just like, that was an insane display of football?
It was funny. I was actually watching what were pretty crappy football games that actually ended up to have a little bit of drama. That Minnesota-Iowa game was, probably set the game back a few decades, but ended up being a little dramatic at the end. I don't know why I was watching the Purdue and Illinois. I guess I was just trying to punish myself or something. But what actually ended up being a pretty good game after dark was Cal and Oregon State. So I don't know if I watched good football, but at least there was a little bit of drama in those games. So all in all, I guess an okay bye week.
Okay, getting to good football, you watch a lot of college football. Who is the best team you've seen so far this year?
Man, you still got to go with Alabama, I think. I mean, I can't imagine that, when you start getting past about number three or four in the rankings right now, I think it's kind of those four teams and everybody else, with Alabama, I think, being ahead of everybody. I think Ohio State definitely has played better football than I thought they would earlier in the year. I think Michigan, when they want to be, can be pretty dominant as well. But just the way that Alabama kind of took the air out of that game against Arkansas, I think that's probably where you'd have to go right now.
Michael Bruntz, 24/7 Sports, joining us right now on Hale Varsity Radio Show. Bruntz, you brought up Michigan, though. We're still kind of undecided on. I know they smoked Rutgers 78-0, and they're going to get Ruth Chris now for 78% off up there in Ann Arbor. But where are you at with them? Would you lump them into that top three, four, or are you still kind of waiting for them to see? Because they haven't really played anyone yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I'm kind of waiting to see how that offense plays against a really good defense. I think that's kind of going to kind of set them apart for me. I think they can play pretty stout defense, but, can they really, kind of grind out yards, and do they have the quarterback play that's really going to allow them to, go and beat Ohio State? I think that's kind of where I'm at with Michigan right now. I think they've got kind of the team where they can do that. But I mean, I still kind of want to see it a little bit more consistently. I mean, we could probably gather up a team and go up to New Jersey and push Rutgers around a little bit. I don't know to that extreme, but, you know, definitely I think, you know, they need to show it against a little bit better opponent. I'll be kind of curious to see, like I said, I mean, the quarterback play for them has always been a little suspect the last few years, and I kind of wonder if that would hold up in a little bit bigger game against a better defense.
Yeah, Rutgers, the only away game Michigan's played so far this year. Otherwise, all of their first five games were at home. All right, Bruns, let's switch over to some Nebraska football talk. Obviously, got Indiana coming up this week. Which one is more worrisome for you here? Nebraska's offense going into this game because of the injuries, or Nebraska's defense going against this high-powered Indiana offense?
Well, I think the defense for Nebraska should be able to hold its own. You know, I did watch a little bit of the Ohio State-Indiana game. I saw Indiana play a little bit earlier in the season, too. I think they're at Florida International to start the year. I think that I think Nebraska can hold up okay there. You know, it seemed like they got some really good play calls and caught Ohio State in some bad situations and were able to kind of capitalize on that. But I thought for the most part, you know, this is an offense that Nebraska should be able to hang with. I think the concern is you're going into Indiana, a stadium that's probably not going to be a raucous atmosphere. So, you know, for Nebraska, you've got Tommy Armstrong. You know, they say he's healthy, but when he says that he couldn't have played this past weekend if there were a game, that kind of gives you a little bit of pause. You don't have Divino Zigbo more than likely. Your big back who kind of grind out yards, which is what you're probably going to need to do to wrap that game up. And you're going in there without Jordan Westerkamp and Stephen Carter, and you're kind of relying on wide receivers to play some different spots on short notice. So, I think it is going to be a challenge a little bit for Nebraska's offense to kind of come out and establish the run and really kind of get after Indiana's defense. You know, I think in the past, Indiana's defense has really kind of been their Achilles heel. I think they're a little bit better this year, a little bit more opportunistic. So it really is going to require a pretty efficient and pretty steady game, I think, from Nebraska's offense to come out of there with a win.
Michael Bruns of 24/7 Sports at Michael Bruns at Twitter. Bruns, looking now, let's switch a little bit of recruiting talk. It was a bye week. Obviously, coaches are able to get out, do a little traveling, go see current commits. Guys are still after big time. What you get kind of a synopsis of where coaches were and kind of what the main objective was that the coaching staff got accomplished over this weekend?
Yeah, you know, they kind of split their space a little bit. They kind of half the staff went west to California. You had Brian Stewart out there checking in on Trajan Cotton, a defensive back out of Sacramento that had visited for the Oregon game. Mike Riley, Keith Williams were out in California to really kind of get out there and capitalize on some of this momentum that the Huskers have had so far. You know, Mike Riley on Friday night was at the Calabasas High School game checking in on Tristan Jebbia, Keyshawn Johnson Jr., Keith Williams also in the area. I mean, you've got Jameer Calvin, Joseph Lewis, a lot of guys in the area who Nebraska is, I think, either trending really well with or right in the mix for. And then the other part of that, you had a pretty big presence in Texas as well. John Perella was down there. Trent Bray, you had Bruce Reed checking in on the commitments in Oklahoma. And really the idea there was to really kind of, again, capitalize on those visits. You've got Damian Daniels in the Dallas area, Chevin Calloway, his teammate in the area as well. Both have visited Nebraska. I think Nebraska's in a good spot for Daniels, even though he's going to visit Iowa and Colorado still. That would be a really nice piece to kind of round out the defensive line class that they've got already. And then we didn't even mention Mike Kavanaugh, who went and checked in on one of Nebraska's, literal and figuratively biggest targets in Foster Serrell, the number one overall player in the country, out in the Seattle area. So that's another one to watch, I think, just because, you know, Nebraska's had a long-time relationship with Foster and his parents dating back to when the staff was at Oregon State. And, he visited the first weekend for the Fresno State game, and Nebraska hasn't backed off the gas there either. So he's the type of kind of program-changing left tackle that if you've got a chance to land, you really kind of have to throw your hat all in, and that's what Nebraska is doing right now. So, you know, with the bye weekend, really an opportunity to get out, you know, puff your chest out a little bit and try to continue that momentum that you've got on the field and make sure that carries over to the recruiting trail as well.
So the Huskers haven't had a commit in a while. Is that going to be the case, and we're just going to have to wait a little bit longer for these more higher-profile guys?
Yeah, I mean, what you're seeing right now is, you know, a number of the guys that Nebraska is kind of in on are still taking official visits. You know, you're starting to see some decision dates set up. You know, Joseph Lewis, the five-star wide receiver in California, had originally planned to decide in January at the Army All-American game. He's said, you know, either then or he might even push it all the way back to signing day. You've got Jameer Calvin also announcing in January. It really kind of slows down a little bit this time of year. You don't see a ton of guys committing on official visits. A lot of these guys are going to go through the process and really kind of, you know, weigh their options. And I think that's kind of where a number of these kids are at. And, you know, to Nebraska's credit, the one thing that they've done is that they've put a much bigger emphasis on getting guys on campus for official visits. They want them to see the atmosphere in Memorial Stadium. And, you know, sometimes you can get a guy on campus early on in the season. You have to take that opportunity. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing right now is that, you know, even if these guys have visited Nebraska, they still have other visits scheduled. So, you know, that's kind of, I think, where Nebraska's at. And, you know, Mike Riley has said they're looking at around 22, 23 guys in this class. They're already at 15 right now. So Nebraska can kind of choose to put the pressure on some guys to commit, I think, as the season goes along. But I think that overall they're in pretty good shape right now in this 17 class.
A couple more minutes here with Michael Bruntz, 24/7 Sports. Bruntz, how's the in-state recruiting looking like right now? Is there anyone that you would think maybe later down in the process could potentially land an offer from in the state of Nebraska?
Well, the 17 class, I mean, I think they've kind of gone through and done their evaluations. I know over the weekend, Patrick Arnold out of Gretna, he committed to Wyoming. That was one guy that I know Nebraska was still kind of taking a look at. Mm-hmm. They weren't really prioritizing an inside offensive line guy. So he went ahead and hopped on that Wyoming offer, which I think is a good spot for him. I really think that, you know, Nebraska's kind of turned its attention, too, to 2018 a little bit. You saw some coaches out and about before the Illinois game, actually, checking in on prospects and really kind of seeing, you know, what's there for future classes. They've already got Masri Mapia out of York committed, Cameron Juergens down in Beatrice. So I think right now they're you know, just kind of focused on those guys who are maybe a little bit out of state right now. But, you know, the thing about it is you're always evaluating those in-state guys, especially with senior film and kind of getting to the midpoint of the season. So, you know, this was last year when you really kind of saw him get serious about David Engelhoff and looking at him, and he ended up in the class. So you never really say never.
All right, got about a little less than a minute here. Schmidt always likes to ask you about your donkeys, your Donkos. Paxton Lynch, first career start, didn't go as well as planned, huh?
Yeah, I didn't really see Atlanta, you know, being that hot, but they really kind of took it to Denver. A little bit of concern now about the Denver offensive line. I was a little scared with how they didn't hold up quite so well yesterday with a rookie quarterback. So maybe not getting fitted for the Super Bowl rings quite yet, kind of backing off that prediction. But they need to get it turned around a little bit because, you know, watching the Raiders yesterday, they look pretty good in the AFC West. So Denver's going to have to turn around quick. They got a Thursday night game this week, but definitely not a good showing yesterday against the Falcons.
Yeah, I think I could have lined up the left defensive end spot and beat that right tackle that they had in that game. That was Vic Beasley's coming out party yesterday. Good Lord. So
yeah, he looked like Dean Lowry in that game for the Northwestern game last year.
He did. All right, Michael Bruntz, 24/7 Sports. Bruntzy, thanks again for joining us, my man, and well, you got another game to cheer for on Thursday night, so have fun at that one.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Bruntz.
See you, Bruntz.
All right, guys. We'll be back coming up. We'll talk a bit Nebraska being in that top 10 area. Do we like it or not?
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text Hale to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Welcome back into Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It's Monday. Hopefully your week's kicking off with a good start. Hopefully you're rolling out of office here soon. The weather's not the best, but looking up the rest of the week. So here, a quick reminder here from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Do you know that buzz driving is drunk driving? Having a few beers or drinks after work on a game day at a party or social event and getting behind the wheel with that buzz is being impaired. Safe driving demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska are alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved were buzz driving. Another reminder from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Big thanks to Michael Brunts joining us last segment, 24/7 Sports, at Michael Brunts on Twitter. Follow him for any recruiting Nebraska football needs if you haven't already. I'm going to get a little more Nebraska talk here. Obviously, not a ton to divulge, but just because of the with the bye week. But they're back. They're relevant. You know, they're back into that top 10, number 9 in the coaches, number 10 in the AP. Again, Mike Riley updated on press conference injuries. Farmer's questionable. Ozigbo's questionable. Seathan Carter and Jordan Westerkamp are the ones, two for sure, that probably aren't going to play this week. Alonzo Moore's back at it. Tommy's out of the boot, doing fine. Supposedly, if the game was this weekend, probably wouldn't have played, which kind of caught me by surprise. So, Alonzo Moore's going to be back. So, it's, you know, that bye week was much, much needed. Hopefully those O-line guys, Neville's going to get back there and Farmer's going to be okay. And
I think it was perfect timing because of the amount of injuries. I think if the team were healthy, I think they would want to keep playing.
Absolutely.
Keep this thing rolling.
As a player, I hated bye weeks. I mean, just because maybe later in the year, sounds bad, I hated getting out of a routine. Because for me, if I missed just a couple days, like I got rusty. Like I was never one of those guys who could come back and just hop right back in the saddle, and I had my eyes and my first step and my hand placement just like it took me it took me a handful of reps to get it back, and I hated having to start all over again. But it was needed. It was definitely much needed for this team. They had a good bye week practice, so all's good on the home front so far, and this is a big game for them this weekend.
Oh yeah. So we are number 10th in the AP, number 9 in the coaches. Going to do a little exercise here with you, Jay. Mm-hmm. If we're on a neutral field, let's talk about the surrounding teams near us in the AP. Mm-hmm. Now, these teams are near the top. I'm just curious, though. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Michigan.
Neutral field.
Neutral field. Do you see us being any of those?
No.
Okay. I'm with you.
No.
Then we get to number 5, Washington.
Boy, they look damn good. I mean, obviously, they beat up Stanford, but Stanford just got pounded by Washington State. Those Pirates getting those guys ready to play again.
Yeah.
Even though they got beat early on by Boise State, and he went on his whole tyrant on being, we couldn't beat a JV softball. We had this mindset of a junior college softball team or something crazy like that. You know what? I'm not as concerned as, I mean, McCaffrey is a concern. Obviously, it'd be interesting. I would think if, in my mind, I think Stanford would be. Did we say Stanford or Washington?
I said Washington.
Sorry. I was thinking Stanford. I got confused there for a second. Washington, not right now. They're hot. That's a hot team.
I still need to see a little more from them, just because their non-conference schedule ranked 128th out of 129. It was only better than Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor doesn't play anybody in the non-con, so I'm still waiting to see. So I could possibly see us on a neutral field, hanging with him. But yeah, right now, Jake Browning and those guys, very hot.
He's starting to get his name thrown in the Heisman ring.
Neutral field, Texas A&M. Huskers win that one?
Yeah. Again, this is a close one. I think it's kind of the same as Washington, really close, in my opinion, just because, listen, A&M's, I don't think Tennessee's that good. I don't. They should have beat them by a lot more. I mean, they caused 7 turnovers. Like, you should have smoked them. Not a huge, I mean, offensively, I think Trevor Knight is good.
Yep.
I think Myles Jarrett is he's a top 10 pick probably next year in the NFL draft.
Probably top 5, yeah.
But neutral field, yeah, we give them a run for their money. I honestly do. Because I think once we get through those 4 teams, there's not a whole lot of separation in my opinion.
So I mentioned those 4 teams, but at number 7 is Louisville. Yeah. And I think they should be higher. I was so impressed with them in that Clemson loss.
Mm-hmm.
But granted, if they lost Lamar Jackson, I wonder how good they'd be. But, I mean, that guy's incredible.
No, he is. You know, he's insane. I mean, if honestly think right now, looking at if you want to talk Heisman, I'd put him number one, and I'd put Jabril Peppers at number two.
Ooh, going with Jabril. All right.
You see that punt return he had where he, like, spin move and, like, ducked a guy? I don't care if his record. Yeah. That was nice.
I mean, I feel like it's the only way a defensive guy is going to win a Heisman now is if you give him touches on special teams and on offense.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean,
Charles, if they didn't give it to Sue back in the day.
Or
then,
Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
Charles Woodson got a few touches back in his day, too. That's a tough one.
I don't think we beat Louisville.
I think we struggle defensively in that one. I think offensively we hang. I think defensively we struggle with the quarterback for sure.
Number eight, Wisconsin.
Well, we'll find out soon enough.
In
a neutral field, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's just playing them up at Camp Randall. It's a tough place, but neutral field, yeah, no doubt.
And we briefly mentioned them, but Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't think they're that good.
They have it like
they're not impressive to me.
Mm-mm. But they struggle with Appalachian State. They struggle with Frank Solich at Ohio.
Yeah, they were down big to Florida. Mm-hmm. They came back. They don't play complete ball games.
Mm.
Neither do we. But I mean, but I'm not impressed with Tennessee. I'm not. I mean, Dobbs is okay. They turn the ball over. Neutral field. Yeah, we win.
Okay, how about right behind us, Baylor?
We beat them.
Ole Miss.
Yeah. With neutral field, I feel we can beat them.
Yeah, as long as Chad Kelly's not running onto the field, well, you know.
Right.
Houston, how about them?
See, I'm not thoroughly impressed with Houston either. I think Oklahoma, there's getting back to our topic of a conversation in segment one, talking about it was a team that was overhyped. And I thought, I'll raise my hand, I thought Oklahoma was going to be damn good again.
Yeah, I thought so too.
It just showed you that Oklahoma wasn't that good. And I watched them play Cincinnati, they struggled. You know, the quarterback's good for Houston. They got that true freshman nose tackle who's phenomenal. Only one of the first five stars I think Houston University's ever signed. Luckily, who's out of the city of Houston. I not that impressed.
Throw one more at you. Florida State.
They are so weird.
They are.
I mean, they held Miami to 19 points.
They finally played some defense.
They did. They got after the quarterback a little bit. Neutral field, Dalvin Cook's good. Their quarterback's good for a freshman. Yeah, neutral field, yes. We hang. I don't know if we win, but we hang.
And I should mention, I mean, their defense has been kind of beaten up this whole year, but, I mean, they were playing some really good offenses too, so they had to deal with it. But, man, they didn't seem like they could stop a nosebleed for a bit.
No,
but they showed up in that Miami game.
I mean, because they got and UNC beats them, and UNC just got smoked by Virginia Tech, although, again, another rainy kind of sloppy
monsoon
conditions
game,
but it's just this. I mean, call me crazy, but this we can hang with a lot. Those top four, probably not. But I think without anything else after that, everyone's in the same boat. They can play good at sometimes, but they can also play bad, and everyone's in that same spot. So it's about playing a complete game. All right, coming back here, Hail Varsity Radio. Wind down, hour one.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Welcome back into the Hail Varsity Radio Show presented by the Nebraska Lottery on a Monday. Repping down hour one here on a Monday. Thanks to Michael Brunch joining us earlier. Got a lot of football talk going so far. Haven't gotten into a whole lot of baseball talk yet. We'll get into some of that later. But gosh dang, you know what? I was really looking forward to this week. I know we always have our weekly golf segment. Tiger was going to come back this
week.
Your
boy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was pumped. I was more pumped to see what equipment he was going to use because he doesn't have to use the Nike stuff anymore. So I was excited to see what he's going to use. My man WD's today. Says it wasn't health. Health was not an issue, he said. Completely healthy, feels good, but he said the game was vulnerable. So just must not be having it.
Game was vulnerable?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that as an excuse.
Just wasn't,
can you use that in golf a lot?
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing like a dog, doesn't want to go out there and make himself look bad. He's done that enough, you know, lately. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what he's going to do now. I was pretty excited. I thought he's getting there. But with this one, I don't. This really makes me hesitant to see if he will ever play, you know, a meaningful round. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. It's strange. I mean, I know he had some other tournament he's hosting like this week too in California. I don't know, but he said that his game was not to where he needed to be to feel comfortable. He says he needs to feel like he can win every tournament before he tees it up. I don't know. I mean,
so I'm wondering public perception and his own perception. Do you think he looks at himself as a guy who, like, not like golf is in trouble, but if he plays, tons of people are interested in, and I'm not saying you need Tiger Woods to save golf, but if he's not around, I feel like golf is still in a pretty good situation.
It's
with
okay.
The young guys.
Yeah, it's oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, listen, Tiger made golf cool.
Yeah.
Because when he finally, you know, in the mid to late 90s, you know, I didn't touch a club, didn't care about golf. But as soon as he kind of came around, won that US Open 2000, I'm like, this looks kind of fun. You know, I always thought golf, honestly, when I was a kid, I thought golf was a nerdy, dorky sport. Now I love it. I think it's honestly the best game ever. Like, I wish I would have played golf growing up, you know, my whole life. Really do. But he made golf cool. He made it an athlete. You know, all the guys train now and work out because of how Tiger, he revolutionized the game. Now you have guys like Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy and that young crop of guys that makes it cool now for the younger kids. So I'm not concerned about Tiger. I mean, Tiger's... Yeah. You know, he's 40-some years old. He's 40 years old now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not an old guy by any means, but, you know.
But that was also kind of his downfall, right? The Marine-type workouts he was doing, that
Navy's
would kind of hurt
his... Yeah, because he was trying to become a Navy SEAL.
Yeah. I remember reading that article.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's true. It's, I mean, how he hurt his knee before the 08 U.S. Open, he was doing some tactical training with the SEALs in San Diego, and there was a certain exercise you did to prop your leg so you could brace yourself if anyone attacked you from a certain angle, and... They tested it, and he said, no, you have to kick me like you would normally. He did. They kicked him, and snap, you know, stress fracture and a torn ACL. So, I mean, he brought it upon himself. I mean, I get it, though. I get it. But, bummed. Super bummed that he is not pegging it this week. I was interested, man. It's going to be great. You know, see him at the Ryder Cup and see him hit a few shots, play a little golf. I'm bummed. I'm super bummed. But, oh, well, there'll be more Tiger, hopefully, in the future. All right, coming up. Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. We'll break down this Nebraska defense and see what he thinks going into this Indiana game.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get big, big!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Welcome back into Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Hour number two. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus. Emeritus helps to protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. We also help protect your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. The fact that Emeritus has been keeping promises for nearly 130 years should give you peace of mind and keep your head in the game. Emeritus is proud to stand with Husker Athletics and fans like you. Visit Emeritus.com, and Emeritus proudly sponsors Mondays with Coach McBride. Charlie McBride joining us now. Coach, how we doing?
Doing good. Nice sunny weather.
Is it? Nice, yeah. Nice and warm as usual down in Phoenix?
Yeah. We arrived in Arizona, so we're getting settled for
good.
Another 4 or 5 months.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, Coach, I got to ask you. I know you're a Chicago kid. Are you you a Cubs or a White Sox guy?
I'm a White Sox guy. I'm a South Sider.
Oh, okay. So no.
I was a Cardinal fan too because they were at Comiskey Park when I was a kid until they moved to Soldier's Field and then to St. Louis, now back to L.A. So
right on. Okay, I was just curious if you were paying attention to the Cubs game, but obviously not. You'd probably like to see them.
Oh no! You know you're going to go for a Chicago team.
Okay. I didn't know if you're one of those fans. You know, that want to see the Cubs. You know, blow this 2-0 lead.
Yeah, but when they play together, I'm a White Sox fan.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but other than that, they're in different leagues. I'm a Cubs fan. Sure.
Gotcha. Sure. Hey, Coach, I got it. Nebraska just got done with their one and only bye week this past week, and for you as a coach, I know. I think maybe back when there was. The season wasn't like it was. I think you might have had a couple bye weeks. I know I had a few during the season like that. But how'd you approach the bye week? Were you get your young guys some reps, and then how'd you like to go about it? I guess during those bye weeks in the season.
Well, that's pretty much what we did. We really worked hard on our depth, and that would be the younger players or the second team, third team guys that were had the chance to play. You know, and of course we didn't. We worked hard with all of them, and we also gave our freshmen that came in and it, a little taste of it too. But the primary thing was the depth, and and the reason you have your younger players so they get to know the older guys a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them say hello, goodbye to them, don't know them very well, but they're playing in the same drills and stuff like that with them. It really helps your team, your chemistry.
Right. So now Nebraska's finally, they're number 9 in the coaches poll. They're number 9 number 10 in the AP poll. I know it's just a number, but you have your optimistic fans, you have your pessimistic fans that think Nebraska does not deserve to be in this ranking, of the top 10. What's your thought? What do you say to those type of fans that say they don't deserve to be ranked where they are?
Well, they aren't fans.
Mm.
They're just people that, find the negative thing about it and not go with the positive. This is a pressure mark for the players. I mean, they have to, now they have something that they have to live up to. And that's one of the things about the standings. Once you get into this far into the season with 5 and 6 games played, that's the part where now you start to say, this team's this and this team's that. Now you have to prove it.
Right on. So going into, this is a big one, against Indiana. Indiana's beaten Michigan State so far this year. They kind of hung with Ohio State this year. I kind of want to stick with the defense because obviously the familiarity with both of us being on that side of the ball. From the defense so far this year, what kind of concerns do you still have with those 11 guys playing defense and going into this Indiana game this week?
Well, going into the end of the game, you got to stop the run first. And I say that, I've always said that's what we had to do first. And you do, because they have some pretty good, big, strong running backs. And especially in short yardage, they have, they've got some meat behind them. And that's probably one of the biggest things that, that I would be worrying about, and more of the short yardage, third and short goal line stuff. Would be one of my concerns. The other one is the fact that if you can get some kind of pressure on that quarterback, he'll throw it around.
Mm-hmm.
If you do, you let him throw it, he'll throw it well. But I've been watching a couple of weeks on him, and when he gets some pressure on him, he's throwing the ball in the ground all over the place. So that would be something that I think would help a little bit. He can run. So, I'd look at some pressure from the outside, and things like that. I think, coming up the middle with stuff, sometimes you get clogged up and, you don't get through as much. But off-tackle pressures and outside pressures are really, really tough on Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Coach, I want to see if you kind of see the same thing when I'm watching the games. I kind of, on the defense, the linebackers were kind of the guys who were had the most reps, who, had the most live bullet reps out there during games. And I don't know. I don't think they've played up to their, what they're able to their capabilities. Now, with that being said, do you think that could be potentially because we're playing so many new guys up front? And I know your linebackers play
yep.
as well as your D linemen. Do you think that could be potentially an issue because of so many new guys up front?
Yeah, your defensive line has to really protect those guys and keep them off in the running game and keep them off the linebackers. That's where people bomb you. If you just let a guy loose that you're playing on and not play him and not get your hands on him and cause a disruption in his angles to the linebacker, and then you got problems. The other thing is what I've noticed is what you have a little bit is is that they haven't been playing on air, meaning defensively and reacting to the ball like you'd like to see them, at least from what I can see on television.
Right.
You know, I may be up, way off base because you can't see the whole field on TV. So, you know, there's some, but that's one thing that, it's a thing where you have to really spend time on, and you have to really pay attention to where the quarterback's eyes are and things like that. And you have to talk from the outside. In other words, the corners, they got something coming in. They got to yell in or something whatever their words are. I don't know what they use, but, you know, you got to talk to each other what's going on. So, you know, those are the things that I think, you know, that happen with the backers. You know, if you let those guys free, okay, and you're running a zone scheme, which is a stretch scheme where they go sideways,
right,
the guy on you, if he gets off without you pushing on him and letting him off free, they'll run the ball till the cows come home. And so it takes a lot of work, and you have to always be looking when you're pushing for a cutback or something like that. And you can't have your eyes just on the guy you're playing. You got to find the football. And so those are some things that young guys have to really pay attention to, you know, when they're playing. We protect the linebackers. I always used to say, you know, because we're protecting them so they can make the tackle. But, you know, you're on scholarship too, so if you make one, it's okay.
Right. Right on. No, absolutely. You know, it's funny because as a defensive lineman, I always called it playing heavy on the blocks, making if it's a, you know, a stretch play away or getting some sort of push or a hand on that offensive lineman to reroute them. So, you know, a linebacker, I hated doing it, but it was you had to do it for the sake of the defense because I wanted to go make the play myself. But, no, it's so important. It's so important to keep those guys free. Otherwise, it can make for a long, long day if you're not helping out those guys behind you.
I think that's one of the reasons we played so well against the run. And if you had to take a weak spot, maybe it would be our coverage. But, you know, over the years, I don't know that for a fact. But, you know, I felt more confident in our linebackers and our front seven stopping the run than I did anything. I know toward the end we had Mike Brown, and Mike was our strong safety, and he led the team in tackles because he rotated into the box on some of the coverages we were playing, and he became our eighth man in the box, and he made a lot of cutback plays that were cut back and things like that because he lined up basically on the side away from the tight end. And the weak side. So naturally, when you get the tight end, you're seeing a lot of cutback plays, especially, when the play starts toward the tight end, you're seeing a lot of plays cut back. And the backside tackles do a lot of different things. They'll set sometimes on those plays inside to make you come upfield and create a hole and hope the linebacker's overrun. Sometimes they just go ahead and go down and try to cut you off. And a lot of times you'll just see the defensive end or outside backer making the play.
Now, kind of staying with the, you know, playing heavy on a block. I know you lined up your defensive ends pretty wide a lot of times. Now, did you ever move them in or require them to get hands on the offensive tackles? Or did you pretty much rely on your three techniques, your zero, your shades guys to kind of really play heavy and keep them off those back guys?
Well, at times when our base defenses, we played pretty heavy on and just shuffled with them, you know, just pushed and shuffled and looked for the reverse and the bootlegs and, you know, and things like that. but there's times when we widened them, that's when we were dangerous. I mean, because we were able to play the run game, believe it or not, better. And as you look at our statistics over the years, our pass defense, which, you know, this is where I probably need my head examined a little bit, is because we played an overlook, which our three technique was on the strong side, and that and widened our ends a yard at least outside and killed them. And sometimes we ran a lot of stunts, a lot of pressure off of that, but that was our best, statistically our best defense. And we're, you know, here we are, we're playing it to stop the run sometimes, which really helped because people thought we're in a pass set, and the weak side really looks open. I mean, it looks ugly,
right?
You know, and when you're looking at it on film, my coaches, I can just see them just thinking, "Wow, this is going to be easy," and it's not. Mm-hmm. And because the kids have repped it so much, and they played the angles of the backs. Mm-hmm. They, when they're shuffling, if that back's coming their way, they know what kind of angle it is, whether it's kicking out, whether he's hooking you, or whatever the case is.
Power pass,
and they knew pretty much what was going to happen. The other thing was coming really hard from the outside, just having speed to beat the tackle. I mean, just flat run by the guy. And then when we had some guys that could really do that, we had some that had to work at it. But, you know, at any time you get the guy's shoulders perpendicular, you usually by that time you can counter and come inside and still keep good chance of contain, at least if the guy's not a great sprinter or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a drop back guy for sure. You got chances to do a lot of different things when you're out in the weak side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a couple of minutes here with Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie, presented by Emeritus. Hey, Coach, about 90 seconds left here. I always thought it was interesting when they say, "Well, we tried something new, and then we struggled with a new defense, but we always went back to our base, and then we played better." I know for a fact that I did that during my years. We always try to put in a new look, and then we get beat a couple times. We go back and play base, and they couldn't do anything the rest of the game. What, I mean, did you find that?
That's right.
Did you find the same issues, or is it just sometimes you just overthink it too much?
Well, no, we had our defense would look the same. However, our gap responsibilities would change. You know, for example, if our three technique might play tighter, he might almost play on the guy's nose at times, and you know, and try to create some disruption in the A gaps, which is between the center and the guard. Mm-hmm. You know, rather than playing the three technique, where a lot of people just have them come blowing up the field, and perfect if you do that to trap them and things like that.
Right.
So the thing you have to be careful of is when we did move people, we had something to go with it, where he may be able to go both ways. Say, for example, a nose may be lined up a little bit strong and be able to come back weak and play that way. And those were the things that we changed during the week. We try not to change our basic look as much, but our linebacker responsibilities definitely changed.
It's always funny. You always try to throw a new wrinkle in there, and sure enough, you get gashed, and that calls out the book, and you play your base D, and they can't do anything the rest of the game. It's always a thing of beauty.
That's the one thing too, is our base defense. We'd line up in it, and they knew every gap we had. They knew everything about that defense that we knew. We still played it better than they could block it.
Yep. That's a thing of beauty. All right, Coach. We'll let you get out of here. Thank you as usual for Mondays, and enjoy that nice weather down there. We'll try to stay warm up here.
Okay, I'll do it. Thanks for having me.
Yep, thanks,
I'll
Coach. Yep, be good.
Week. Okay, bye now.
Thanks to Charlie McBride joining us there. Sorry if we got too technical for you folks on the football thing.
I think people enjoyed that.
I could go
two
on
defensive minds.
Yeah, just going. It's always interesting. You know?
Yeah,
it's just. A gaps, B gaps, you know, three techniques, no shades. It's, you know, I could talk that for hours, man.
Oh, yeah.
The old D-line talk, that's fun.
McBride loves it, too.
Oh, I know. I feel like we could have went for another hour. We should just have our own podcast like that, just Coach McBride and I just talking D-line stuff, you know. That'd be a good time.
Yeah, that would be good.
No, I'm glad. He's hopefully he's feeling better, too. I know he had some procedures done down there, so hopefully he's sounding better. So big thanks to Coach McBride, as usual, presented by Emeritus on a Monday. We'll be back here. We're going to get a little NFL talk coming up next segment, Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Welcome back to Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Jay Moore, TJ Henning, holding it down today. Schmidt is out under the weather a little bit. Been a good show so far. Big thanks to Michael Brunch joining us hour one. Big thanks to Coach McBride joining us last hour. As usual, on Mondays with Charlie. And we just talked a lot. That was just some good X and O football talk, you know. That was a lot of fun. We'll stick with the football theme here. We got to do a little baseball talk coming up here next segment, but we'll stick with football. I haven't gotten into a lot of NFL. That was another good weekend of football as well. And just looking at it as a whole, only one undefeated team left. That's the 5-0 Minnesota Vikings. Worst rushing attack in the league right now without Adrian Peterson, but they're 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
They're very efficient so far with Sam Bradford for the most part, and that defense is killer. And, I mean, Green Bay looked okay last night versus New York. But, I mean, obviously it's those two still in the NFC North. I was very shocked by the Broncos getting beat yesterday. You know, it was another one of the undefeated teams. But, man, I tell you what, there's a lot of – again, it's just NFL is always like this every year. You're just always kind of left scratching your head with who's really the legit teams. It's kind of becoming clear now. It's the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Packers. I mean, Brady's back. It's the Broncos. I mean, the Browns. They're playing the Browns. So, I mean, it wasn't like he was, playing against the steel curtain by any means. But he looked good again.
Yeah.
He said he's like, that didn't even feel like the first game. felt like it was just a normal week.
Yeah.
Good, obviously he prepares like no other. I mean, I saw highlights of him like out in the college campus throwing balls to a wide receiver who's like fully padded and everything like that. So,
It's interesting with the Vikings. They're getting it done more through the air. And obviously that defense is special. And we knew the season that would be the case. And the special teams has been really good. Marcus Sherrills took another one to the house yesterday. Mm-hmm. And even though Blair Walsh, the kicker who missed the extra point against the Seahawks last year, he's kind of had his issues.
He's
a little up and down. So the special teams been up and down a little bit, but they're really getting it done through the air because, like you mentioned, they're not getting it done with the rushing ball and the O-line. They're not getting any push,
right?
With Searles on there.
Right, but, yeah, I know. Yeah,
good point. Yeah, I mean, they're just kind of getting it done with Jerry McKinnon, Matt Asiata, and Bradford through the air right now.
Yeah, it's you do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
You never apologize for wins in the way you do it. I mean, look at, we had the Ravens were undefeated. Now they're 3-2 and they just fired their OC.
Yeah,
they fired Mark Trestman and hired Marty Morningwig. You know, so it's just, and the last time they did that, last time the Ravens fired their OC, they won the Super Bowl. So they kind of maybe know what they're doing, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl winning team this year. But it's just, the cream always starts to rise to the top, and you're seeing it, and it's almost chalk. Who you thought was going to be solid this year.
I thought the Panthers, that was one of my Super Bowl picks.
Very true.
Not looking good.
But it's still early.
Still
early. Then, I don't know the thing about that Monday night game, too. I mean, Cam's not playing. Is the game in Carolina or is it in Tampa?
It's in Carolina.
It's in Carolina. I'll watch. But you know what? Oh, it'll be one of those where I'm back and forth between that and the Cubbies. So I've got to check them out. But
maybe the end of Cleveland-Boston.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That game just get started right now. But again, I've said it before, I watched a few NFL games yesterday, played some golf, and I was good. Like, went to bed at halftime of the Packers-Giants game, watched a little bit more, and I fell asleep. I'm like, it's football. You learn. I mean, see who does what. I still think the biggest shock of yesterday was the Falcons winning in Denver. That was my biggest surprise of the week. But other than that, it was about what you expect.
I mean, I think the Falcons were helped by a rookie starting quarterback in Paxton Lynch.
A little bit,
Simeon got hurt.
Right. I think Simeon's getting toasted too because they had two different right tackles and he was just getting toasted. I mean, it was fresh blood over there. I'm sure every guy on that Falcons defensive line is like, let me get that left defensive end spot for a few snaps because I need some sacks.
Plus, 23 points on the Broncos D. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's funny.
To me, that Falcons offense
is legit.
What's
funny is I'm driving yesterday morning to go play golf, and I'm on 1480 here, and they had a fantasy football segment, and guys like, I don't predict many locks, but my lock of the week is you get the Broncos D against Matt Ryan. He's not going to be able to do anything. That was his lock. I don't know who it was, but it was his lock of the week.
The case.
And I just go, huh, your lock of the week, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy.
And one of my favorite things from the weekend was obviously the Pats demolished the Browns, but one of the Browns, they did get one touchdown, and the receiver just
put the ball down.
He just put it down and walked away like a robot.
Yep, I know it. That was no, he's perfect. Like that's
just
like
putting it to good.
That's how you the NFL wants you to, you know, to perform.
But you brought up an interesting point off the air with me. What are the Cowboys going to possibly do?
4-1, man, and they got Zeke and Dak are looking good. They're two rookies. You know, Romo's not supposed to be back until week 8. Oh, you know what?
I think they keep it rolling with Dak. I mean, what
if you're 7-1? If you're 6-1 going into week 8, I know. Obviously, what they got invested in Romo there.
Yeah.
I know he's been there for a while, but they finally. I mean, the biggest.
But he hasn't won them anything, so I don't feel like the Cowboys owe him to put him in there.
No, but I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. It's tough. I mean, you'd have to stick with the hot hand, but. I mean, if Romo's your guy, but that's the thing is, you got to look at it as, I look at if I'm a Jerry Jones, I'm owner, right, or whatever, you have two cars. You have one that's, you paid a lot of money for, super nice, you know, you put a lot of money into it, then you also have this kind of basic, you know, you pretty much have a nice Mercedes, and then you have like a Honda Accord. Which one are you going to want to drive more? Probably the Mercedes, because you get a lot of money into that, and it's. But we know that Honda Accord's really reliable, and the maintenance is really cheap on it. You know, you got to take the Mercedes,
yeah.
And oil change a couple $100, so if something breaks on it, it's a couple thousand.
Yeah, the inside of that Mercedes is damaged,
right? But you know, something goes wrong, it's very expensive. But that Honda Accord, you know, if you know, oil change is $50, you know, only thing something breaks on it, maybe $100.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like, what do you want? You want to go, but. Listen, here's no matter what, Dallas has the best O-line in NFL football, hands down, and a discussion, they got the best O-line in football, in NFL football. So, that's why Zeke's looking good, and that's why Dak, I mean, he's getting protection, and they're not stressing him out. I mean, he's mobile, they're using him in the zone read schemes, so...
Because he's performed way better than I thought watching him at Mississippi State. I never thought of him really as a legit...
They were
pro NFL quarterback.
You know, yeah, they were. They had a couple good years with him there. I mean, they were.
I thought he was a great college quarterback.
Right. No, he was good, but in Dan Mullen's offense. But
yeah.
But they're utilizing him a little more.
Correctly.
But,
yeah.
But I'm telling you what, I think a lot of running backs, a lot of quarterbacks will look respectable behind the O-line. I mean.
Oh, I agree.
It was Zach Martin and all those guys up front. I mean, they are a hell of an O-line.
So me and Schmidt did our top 5 in the NFL last week. Obviously, you playing in the NFL. We want to get yours. I'll give a quick update on mine. I'm still sticking with the Pats at number 1.
Okay.
I like what I see from them. 2, I'm bumping the Vikings up to number 2. Staying undefeated. They know who they are. Mm-hmm. They're doing everything right. Moving the Broncos down a notch to number 3 because of that loss. But really, you're starting a rookie quarterback. Not going to hurt you too much on that. Still sticking with the Steelers at 4. And then at number 5, I'm bumping down the Oakland Raiders for the Falcons.
Okay.
I'm putting the Falcons
in
there.
That's fair. My 5 would be, I have to go Minnesota 1 just because they're undefeated.
Okay.
They beat good teams. I mean, they beat Carolina at Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put them 1. I'll put Patriots 2. I will put the Packers at 3. I'll put the Falcons at 4. They really impressed me. I think they finally got some. That's what was hurting Atlanta in the past was not getting any passers. They invested a lot. They got Vic Beasley. They signed some key guys in the offseason up there. They got, I'm drawing a blank on his name. But they got some good guys up front. And my 5th, I would put, you know what, excuse me, I'll probably follow you again. I'll probably put Steelers 4, Falcons 5. But my top 3 are Minnesota, Patriots, Green Bay.
Is it Sean Weatherspoon maybe you're thinking of?
That's a linebacker that just tore his Achilles, or he was hurt again. He got hurt again this year, right? He's been there for a while. He got drafted there out of Missouri. It was
They got Rashid Hageman out of Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's so another draft pick. But they picked up a, he played
Matt at Dwight Freeney.
Yep. He played at college ball at Arizona. Long hair, Brooks Reed. Yeah, I can't remember where he signed him from, but they picked him up in the offseason too. So, but Vic Beasley had like 3.5 sacks yesterday and like 2 forced fumbles. I mean, that's what they needed. They needed a pass rush, and then they finally got it. So, but the offense is going to be there with Julio and Matt Ryan. You get them some time, they're going to be able to do things.
He
did against them one. I mean, it's toss up between who's the 2 best defenses. Minnesota and Denver. So, mm-hmm.
And then I
feel pretty comfortable about that, my top five.
Yeah, for sure. And then I just bumped out Oakland, but I'm still been impressed with Oakland. Three of their four wins coming on the road, beating the Chargers the other day. I love Carr.
And they only have the one loss, right?
Yeah, and it's to the Falcons.
Right. And that's right, because Atlanta went all at Oakland and beat them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Interesting. I mean, they're leading. So them and the Broncos are tied right now in the AFC West then. Because what are the Chiefs? What's the Chiefs? Chiefs are 2-2? 3-2.
Get it for you here in a second.
Because they just got the bricks beat off of them by Pittsburgh last Sunday night.
Yeah.
That was ugly.
And they had a bye week this
yes.
week.
Yes. So they got to be 3-2.
Chiefs are 2-2.
2-2. You know what? AFC West is going to be very interesting because the Chiefs are still good, in my opinion. They're still a pretty good football team. It's just...
Are they going to turn it on like they did last year, though?
Here's the problem. It's offensively. It's just they're not explosive enough. You know, I know Jamaal Charles hasn't played much this year. He's finally working mm-hmm. back into it. They get him healthy, get him... you know, reintroduce the offense. I think that offense will change but you know, Alex Smith is a very safe quarterback. He just doesn't provide enough offensive firepower.
Game manager.
Right, yeah, 100%.
But he's not going to win you a playoff game.
No. No, he got one last year. They won a playoff game last year. So,
not because of him.
No, I mean.
I think it's more their D, but.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting in the AFC South. You might get a 7-9 win team as the winner of that division.
It's very interesting. And Dallas right now could go from worst to first in the NFC East. Mm. They were last there.
NFC East is a little better than I thought.
Washington's playing better.
The Giants.
The Giants are. The Eagles finally lost their. They made a nice comeback
there.
They're down 21-7. Made a nice little comeback there. Wentz is still pretty good, even though the Lions aren't the best team. But it's interesting to see what teams are starting doing against Dak and Carson Wentz mm-hmm. once they kind of see more film.
Yeah.
That's what kind of impressed me about Dallas so far is they're introducing different schemes so far to, you know. So it's going to be interesting how it's going to play out. But those five teams that we said are still going to be there no matter what, without a doubt. All right, coming back, Hail Varsity on a Monday. Little MLB playoff talk.
Forget to catch any segment of the show.
Man. You are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Indians and Red Sox are going at it right now. It is, let's see here, Indians got out. Going to the bottom of the second, 0-0. So we got the game going on here in the studio. Paying a little attention to this. I'm still hoping for this Red Sox Cubs World Series. That would be epic. I would do my best to make my way to a Wrigley World Series.
Fenway.
Yeah, I've been to Fenway. I just never been to Wrigley.
I've been to Fenway. Never been to Wrigley.
Yeah,
so
yeah, same. Yeah,
yeah.
So I would do my best now. I don't know how much money I'd spend on a ticket. That's the question, but I'd do my best to get or at least watch a game around Wrigleyville.
Yeah, my buddy went to game one of the Cubs. Somehow he got tickets for face value in the bleachers.
Really?
Just $190.
Huh.
I mean, what a game to go to.
Absolutely.
See that homer in the eighth and then close it out in the ninth? Uh-huh. Like, man.
Yeah, so here, quick update rundown. Nationals and Dodgers are still at top of the sixth, one out, 4-3. Nationals are in L.A., series tied at 1-1. Just gave you the update with Indians, Red Sox. They're down 0-2, the Red Sox are. Cubs-Giants go tonight in San Francisco. Mad Bum and Arrieta, two of the best pitchers in baseball, go. Mm. That throws at 8:30. That's a late one. That's way past my bedtime.
Well, it is on the West Coast, though.
Yeah, I know. It's a 6:30. That's a 6:30 pitch. That one's on Fox Sports 1 for your TV.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been, you know what? Not the biggest of baseball fans. I'll watch every now and then, especially those Sunday night games. If Cubs are on, I'll watch. Red Sox are on, I'll watch. Royals are on, I'll watch. But the playoffs, man, it's I'll pay attention to those a lot more closely. See, I'm sure just like any other baseball
Sunday night
person.
Baseball in the summer, you'll turn that on?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because I know you're a big baseball guy, but the national ratings for Major League Baseball are kind of down, while the regional ratings for each team mm-hmm. are way up. Like,
yeah, I'll watch it.
Like, I can't not watch the Royals. That's my team, so
right.
I enjoy rooting for them.
I have no problem. I mean, I'm not watching it the whole game, but
yeah.
I mean, during the summer, there's on Sunday nights, there's not a whole lot of other options. Mm-hmm. I mean, golf gets the Seamarine golf gets over like at 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the evening. So what do you do from 7 to 9 o'clock?
Yeah,
you got to watch baseball.
Or maybe
put you to
maybe
sleep.
On HBO Go or something like that.
Well,
I might
be on. Put you to sleep.
So we had Nate call in earlier to the show. And he mentioned he's a big Cubs fan. Mm-hmm. I asked if he's going to get it done against Bumgarner tonight. He said, oh, for sure, which I was a little hesitant on. But check out this stat I just discovered about Bumgarner. So obviously he's like one of the – you could arguably say he's like one of the best postseason pitchers ever.
You know, he's great.
But check this out. His home ERA in the playoffs is 3.71, and the Giants are just 4-3 in those games. So his road ERA must be like zero.
Well, it was when the Royals and the Giants played each other 2 years ago. He was in,
don't remind me.
He was insane when he threw
one man beat the Royals.
Yeah, and he pitched in Kansas City.
Oh,
he was insane. I mean, he was insane. He was insane that whole series.
Yeah, and then he was saying the other night, getting in that one.
Yeah, he's insane how he can chug like 4 Budweisers at one time too. That's kind of cool too. That's impressive.
and then that he dated a girl named Madison Bumgarner was just like the icing on the cake.
What?
Yeah, you never heard this?
No.
In an interview like he did with ESPN the magazine, Madison Bumgarner said he dated a girl named Madison Bumgarner
for
a while.
He's BSing. There's no way.
That is so awesome.
He would. I guess I have to believe it. I don't know. I call BS on it, though. But
could this be Big Poppy's last game? That's a sad way to go out in a sweep.
I thought Red Sox, in my opinion, were the best team this year in the American League. I do. I mean, it's obviously the Cubs were the best team this year in baseball. I thought Red Sox was the best in the American League. I mean, I really do. But, I mean, tell you what, the Indians are – our Red Sox just haven't played well the first two games, period. There are a lot of errors. Pitching hasn't been great. Untimely hits. Poppy hasn't got anything going. But, I mean, I'd be shocked if the Cleveland swept them, especially in Boston tonight. Big Poppy, speaking of the devil, Big Poppy's up right now. He's got a 3-1 count. Bottom of the second.
I will say with baseball, it seems like with hockey, that it's more the hot teams than the best teams who usually win that. My opinion, and I think the Indians are really hot.
Yeah, they are
that in Cleveland, and
they are.
And Red Sox maybe perhaps were one of the best in the AL, but I don't know. You just find that right pitcher, just keep it rolling, and they were just hitting homers all over Red Sox in Cleveland.
No, I know. Well, that would they hit three Thursday night? Cleveland
back
hit,
to back to back.
Yeah, 3 solos in a row. I'm like, this, what's going on? Like I was watching that and the Niners. Niners Cardinals game. I'm like, wait a second. I was at my buddy's house who has 3 TVs. I'm like, what is going on? Is it homer? Like, I couldn't tell if this was like a replay or if that was live. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, those SOBs. They just hit 3 straight, you know, solo home runs. I mean, what is this? Home run derby? Is this BP? Mm-hmm. What is going on?
Now, speaking of homers, the team that advanced last night, the Toronto Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a team, like, if they're playing, I would watch them. Because their offense is like the Warriors'
Bautista
offense in the NBA.
And, God, what's their left?
Encarnacion.
And what's their left?
Donaldson.
Yes, Donaldson, the left fielder, yeah.
Tulowitzki. Mm-hmm. Those guys can just hit bombs,
they can rake, man. They can. They swept them. I mean, it was going to be pretty interesting with Bautista and the second baseman that the whole laid the punch on them early in the year. But it was they were no match. No match for Toronto.
In the one game going on right now, in the top of the 6th, the Nationals-Dodgers, I feel like that game's not getting a whole lot of pub, and I wonder if it has to do at all with we were just so focused on Vin Scully. I don't feel like we talked about the Dodger team
at all. I
mean,
they've been good. I mean, the story of the Dodgers, Kershaw didn't pitch hardly all year.
Mm-hmm.
He had back issues. He's back. But, I mean, they're a hell of a baseball team. Don't get me wrong. I mean, with Puig and his whole deal, getting demoted down to triple or double A, I can't remember where he went, but... They were just – their mid-season deal was just – it was strange. But the Nationals are a hell of a team, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, with their pitching staff that they have, great. Bryce Harper. I mean, but you just – I just don't pay attention to the teams that are on the coast as – I don't know. I just haven't paid attention to them as much because I've just been so focused on just the Red Sox and the Cubs because that's who I like. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's good baseball. Don't get me wrong. But afternoon baseball is great. Afternoon baseball in the playoffs is phenomenal. How good was it the Royals last year watching those
that
games?
That comeback against Houston?
I know.
Oh,
and
man.
It was phenomenal.
That was incredible.
We were in here, like, getting
our show started late because of that game was on the radio.
I know.
But mean,
it is phenomenal. I tell you what, I wish it was just so hard. You know, you're playing 162 games. I mean, so much baseball. It's just, it comes to this. It's just, it's good TV. It really is.
Should, I mean, it's only 8 games. Should they go back to 154 the way it used to be? Would that help? Or I think it slightly help, but then like,
I don't, I mean, it's like 6 one way, half a dozen mm-hmm. the other. It's 8 games. Does it really make that big a difference? I'd be interested what the players say on that. I bet you they'd be all for it.
Because, I mean, they play 30 games in spring training, too.
Right.
I mean,
give them more off days. Yeah. You still play it at the same amount of time, obviously. Just give them 8 more days off. I know they'd be way happier.
Or you know
that.
What really bugs me about baseball and their scheduling is you have 30 teams, yet you don't play everybody. Like the Royals, they'll play the Tigers,
right,
the White Sox,
the
like
Central,
20 times.
Yeah, I know. Everyone,
but they won't
division.
Play the Cubs at all once in the regular season.
Like, it's just that, it's just weird. AL, NL, DH, no DH.
Yeah.
You know, you can just go on about people on. Like that. Like, do you like the DH? Do you not?
I mean, 162 games, you can't fit everybody in there.
I know.
It bothers me.
We'll figure it out. They'll figure it out eventually, won't they? All right. We'll wrap up. Coming back here on Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
You know that every woman wants a 1-carat diamond in their lifetime. Starter Heyman is making it now possible to everyone. Starter Heyman has a select 1-carat diamonds for only $100 a month. Starter Heyman is making the dream come true and affordable for anyone. So don't shortchange your sweetheart. Get her a 1-carat diamond for only $100 a month. See the stores for details. StarterHeyman.com in Lincoln and in Grand Island. So there's a certain guy that played for Ole Miss by the name of Laramie Tunsil. He got beat up around the draft, you know, meaning deservedly so.
Yeah.
For his video, was it a video or a picture with the bong
video.
Mask?
Yep.
I mean, sorry for partying, I guess, for in his case. But he had another issue, I guess, that he wasn't able to play this weekend. And I feel like he's just like living a life from the episode of like a Ballers.
Yeah.
You know? This is like when they're, you know, writing this, they're like, oh, I mean, we can just have a Laramie Tunsil character in this and we'll just do everything he did. And just, you know, hide a little bit so it's not so obvious. But he sprained an ankle getting out of a shower, slipped, and wasn't able to play against who they get beat by on this weekend. Jeez Louise.
Titans,
there you go. But we have some audio here from Mike and Mike.
Laramie Tunsil was inactive for this game because he slipped getting out of the shower.
We don't mean to laugh.
No, we don't mean to laugh. But, you know, every now and then we get these injuries, and a lot of time this happens in baseball, you know, where you get that kind of that wacky injury where a guy has but here, you know, Laramie Tunsil slipped while getting out of the shower. That's their story. And the ankle swelled up.
Wait a minute.
Enough.
You're already saying you doubt the story.
I don't. I'm just saying that's a story. Who knows? Let's take them at their word.
What happens, man? That's what happens.
You know, so the ankle swelled up too much, and he was inactive for this one. So, Lewis, I mean, that's a tough goal, but certainly not unprecedented with kind of wacky injuries.
No, you know, I'm sitting here trying to think. I know you mentioned this to me. I'm trying to think of guys who've had strange injuries before games, whether it be, you know, hey, you know, I cut my hand, you know, doing something stupid, or
well, Brady
slipped or
cut his hand.
True. That's what I'm saying. All these things kind of invite a bunch of skepticism, obviously. And with Laramie, it's just tough with the way he came into the league. And then yesterday, look what happens. Look, Ryan Tannehill sacked 6 times yesterday.
Yeah.
They can't run the ball worth a lick. Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray are just running the ball down their throat yesterday. So, I mean, this football team, it's just the same old story with the Dolphins recently. Not one thing, it's another.
It really is. They just can't seem to get better, even dumping a lot of money.
Marquee franchises that you sit there and you look at and go, how can they stay down for so long? Well, I guess slipping out of the shower, losing one of your best players, getting your quarterback hit 6 times, I guess that's how you do it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's how we do it.
It is. I mean, Adam Gase walks into that one. I mean, I was actually, Adam Gase was when I was in San Francisco, when we had Mike March was the OC there. He was like our quality control. Good guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think he went from San Francisco, then he was in Denver for Because that's when like Nolan got fired, and then Singletary took over, and then obviously Singletary was hired and cleaned everyone out after that. But good dude.
Slipping in the shower. Hey, I like to think they're telling the truth, but man,
I've slipped in the shower too plenty of times. But man,
I don't think I have.
I've torn down like the curtain rod because like you're grabbing onto anything, you know.
Yeah.
But I've never sprained my ankle doing it. So knock on wood. But man, guy can't catch a break. All right, thanks for tuning in, guys. For Jay Moore, TJ Henning, we'll be back tomorrow. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by Nebraska Lottery.
Peace.